Yes, good morning, Hans, and thank you. At its meeting in October 2020, the board approved the objective and approach to the equity method research project. The first steps in the approach are to identify which application questions are to be addressed in the research project and to identify principles in IS 28 that will be used to develop solutions to the application questions. The objective of this session is to provide an update on the project and explain the process that is being followed to identify the application questions. We're not asking the board to take decisions at this meeting, but we have a question for the board on page 8 of agenda paper 13. The staff drafted an initial list of 22 potential application questions that was included in the board paper for the October 2020 session. We then reached out to constituents to validate that the questions to be addressed are those relevant to stakeholders. And based on what I would describe as a generous amount of replies received, we added 49 potential application questions to the initial list. The process being followed is illustrated on the appendix on page 9 of the agenda paper. The staff first consider whether each question is still unresolved or it has been addressed by the board or the interpretation committee. Then the staff apply the selection criteria that the board approved at the October 2020 meeting. Paragraphs 14 to 23 of the agenda paper explain how the staff has applied each of the criteria. In relation to the last criteria, I noted that we are assessing the following aspects: how frequently the question is encountered, how widespread the question is, and what is the potential magnitude of the question. However, the assessment is qualitative in nature and does not involve the collection of data from financial statements. The staff is completing the analysis and will bring the results to the board for consideration at a future meeting. Let me just note that we expect the selection process to be iterative, so the list of application questions to be addressed may need to be reviewed at a later stage of the project. I will stop here and ask the board members if there are comments or questions on how the criteria for selecting the application questions are being applied. Thank you.
Councilor Azzi.
Yes, thank you for the approach. I mean, that's an approach that I support, you know, setting criteria and going through the questions raised in practice. I'm not in agreement with more particularly your criterion one, and to a certain extent criterion four. Not in agreement with criterion one, because in fact some of the now scope amendments that have been developed by the board and published by the board that were designed at the time to solve a particular fact pattern, they were very narrow in scope, and the basis for conclusions very much reflected that. They have in themselves created inconsistencies within the standard, and if we wish to clarify and to, in fact, not clarify, but to see emerge a principle basis, a possible principle basis for our requirements in IS 28, I think it should not constrain us first from removing the possible the inconsistencies that have been introduced at the time. So to me, this criterion is to me the promise that we are not going to achieve our objective. No, we want to see it removed. And similarly, criterion four, I mean, some divergence of practice may have been eliminated because a particular requirement has been imposed by a change that has been introduced. And I think we should make sure that we identify all circumstances when, in fact, we have a lack of relevant information. The fact that entities have the same practice, if that same practice does not deliver relevant information or as relevant information as possible, then I don't think that the filter is appropriate. So these are my comments. I support at this stage criterion two, because you have introduced in your approach the very valuable dynamic. That first you have a selection, and then you review that selection, and this should be seen dynamically. So I think criterion two is a good start. Time will tell whether it can be fully satisfied, and the same goes with criterion three. If those two can be satisfied and still a good outcome be achieved, but I accept the dynamic. Whereas with the others, I think we're just making ourselves prisoners and won't make any progress.
Mary.
Filippo, three thoughts. First of all, before I get to the three thoughts, just say thank you for this paper. I think it's helpful to get an update from time to time, and I think this is a good capture of the approach that the staff is taking, so we can, you know, offer views before things get too far advanced. A question I had about criterion two, can the application question be solved without fundamentally rewriting IS-28? You'd indicated in paragraph 16 that that would rule out answering questions about how significant influence is assessed. Now, I'm not making arguments for or against addressing that bundle of questions. It just isn't clear to me within this paper why that criterion precludes answering the assessment of significant influence. So I think as the staff looks at that batch of questions, just asking you to think if there's an aspect of it that isn't coming through. That's my first observation in terms of this paper. About criteria four and five, as I've read through this paper again, I looked at that and said, is criterion five, is the application question important, really a subset of criterion four? Does the issue affect consistent application? And I'm making the comment now, I think reflecting some but not all of Françoise's challenge to the staff, I think that these criteria should be guidelines rather than overly rigid. So I don't want to encourage you to spend tons and tons of time refining criteria, because that's emphasizing process over product. But I think separating criterion four from criterion five may create more work if you end up agreeing with my observation that it seems to be two aspects of the same issue. Okay. And then the third is a specific comment about paragraph 29. I personally have been somewhat concerned by planned approach of try to articulate the underlying principles and use those to answer the application questions, because of the feedback we got when we proposed a similar approach in our FICE project. And in FICE, people said, you know, the problem is you're trying to answer a targeted set of issues, but if you're going to insert fundamental articulation of underlying principles into the standard, everyone is going to have to reconsider the classification of every transaction, and that makes for mammoth implementation costs. And this, and what's said, but I think is in typical Filippo fashion, said gently and softly in paragraph 29, is that there's a, you know, and I want to shout it out, that there's a difference in the approach planned here. So I think, to me, what paragraph 29 is saying is that the staff will use the articulation of the principles to work through the issues and arrive at proposed specific resolutions of those issues for the board to consider, and it's the specific resolutions that the staff anticipates would be brought into the standard itself. While the principles may be part of the discussion and the basis for conclusion, that the staff is not proposing that we amend the standard to articulate the underlying principles in the standard itself. And I think that's important as a response to the pushback we had on our financial instruments with characteristics of equity project about how that type of approach increases implementation cost for everybody. So I think paragraph 29, I just want to put blinking lights around it as an important differentiation and learning point. So those three observations on the paper. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Martin.
Yeah, thanks, Hans. My point is more a question than on criterion two. It is that we want to address questions by identifying and explaining the principles of IAS 29. But then in paragraph 16, we're saying, but this will exclude application questions. And for example, in T, the saying, is the equity method a one-line consolidation or a measurement method? My understanding was also always that this is one of the principal questions which has to be decided or to be clarified, because without knowing of, is it a one-line consolidation method or is it a measurement method, I thought a lot of application questions could not be answered, and therefore I really don't understand this point under 16D, because for me it was always, in 9 years where I was a board member, more, many questions were relating to that point. Is it a one-line consolidation or is it a measurement method? And therefore excluding that kind of question, I don't know how we should clarify the principles and then answering application questions.
Nick?
Thanks, Hans, and thank you, Filippo, for the paper. I think as we progress our work here, it's important we take a proportionate approach. We need to be careful that our objective is not to remove all consistencies, it's not to eliminate all divergence in practice. And in that respect, we need to make sure we give sufficient weight to the potential impact on users. And I think that's really tucked away almost in paragraph 22C, the last point on criterion 5, the potential magnitude of the question, whether this question could have a material effect on the entity. But please, let's make sure I think it's essential that we give that due weight as we consider each of these potential application issues. Thank you.
Sue.
Thanks. One question and one comment. So in terms of the questions that are being looked at, the question that I hear raised most frequently in relation to IAS 28 is, what is an investment and scope of 28? So are questions like that included in the list of what you're looking at, Filippo?
Filippo?
Thank you, Shu. Well, I would say that this is probably the greatest area in our assessment. And in the paper, we have noted that there are some questions that at the end of the day, we may decide that the criteria would exclude, but since they've been raised a significant number of times, we will still submit to the board for their consideration. I think that our focus right now is mostly on questions that concern the application of the requirement once the entity has assessed that the instruments are in the scope of IS 28 or are in the scope of the requirements, because, for instance, you have things that are subject to the impairment requirement or loss recognition, but they are not included in the scope of application IS 28. But again, the point you're raising is certainly a point that's being raised by a number of the respondents and is probably one of the points we'll bring to the board for further consideration.
Okay, thanks for that. I think for me it's so fundamental and it seems to come up quite often, and I personally struggle giving people a clear answer on it. And I think, you know, depending on what you think comes in scope can have a massive effect then on what the application questions are. So I find it hard to imagine sort of not addressing that, just to show my cards in preparation for your future paper. And the other observation I was going to make, I like the way that you're trying to keep this constrained with the criteria that you're using. I think that gives us the best hope of moving forward successfully. Just one thought, though, sort of ultimately when we get to the end and we decide what, if anything, we're going to do with you know, tidying up IAS 28. I think one of the reasons why some people sometimes say that our standards are too complicated and not accessible and all of these sorts of things is that sometimes you have to look in quite a few different places to pull things together to know what to do. And I wonder whether at the end, when we've worked out, you know, what application questions we can deal with and what we want to do, if there's an opportunity to have a look and say, okay, and then we've got these things that have been resolved in the past, that have been answered in the past, but they're in agenda decisions or in other places, I think it would be good to say, would it make sense at this point to try and pull some of this stuff together in one place? Because that might help with application as well, sort of from an accessibility point. So not to, you know, re-resolve them necessarily, but just to think about whether there's a way to make it easier for people to understand what to do. So just a thought for a sort of final step at the end for a cleanup phase. Thanks.
Anne?
Thanks, Hans. Filippo, I know that you and the staff have prepared the flowchart. I think that sets up really well for us the consideration, the process, but equally you're also looking for the principles that are in the standard. So I was wondering to what extent you've been testing the process against the principles that you've already identified in terms of working out how effective the process is or how complete it is.
Okay. Yes.
Can I reply to one question?
Yes, please.
Oh, sure. Well, as I said, we are currently finalizing the analysis, and the next step is to bring the two, I would say, work streams together, the list of questions and the list of principles, and see how well they do fit. And this is part of this iterative process that we have in mind.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Filippo, do you have enough to go on? Yeah? All right. Thank you very much. And then we are going to discuss goodwill and impairment, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not mistaken. Tim, are you going to kick it off?
No, actually, Dejan's going to tee us up for this one.
Okay, Dejan.